Welcome to the Lost Dog Podcast and the second edition of the Accursed Race, brought to you by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. Day 5 of the Accursed, and after yesterday's long, hard battles in snowy mountaintops, our riders are hoping for an easier, slightly warmer time on the bike. While Justinus Laveca, cap number 2, continues to lead the race by a distance, a number of riders further back are hoping to reach control point 1 in Burana. Race reporter Tom Probert is in control car 1.
We've started the day in the town of Plujine, which is on the western side of Montenegro, just over the border from Bosnia. It's a beautiful town nestled in the mountains, and the characteristic stunning feature is the kind of network of rivers that open out into huge turquoise lakes surrounded by densely forested bright green hillsides plunging down towards the water. And the riders come through here after having ridden down like a very steep-sided gorge, which is extremely deep, dropping down to the river with a really dramatic bridge that they cross as well. A few of our riders that we spoke to yesterday chose to sleep in Plujine, including Joss, Joop and James, and they've now all got up and they're on the road. It's a really beautiful morning here. The sun's shining, there's blue skies. It's a real contrast to yesterday. Feels like a spring or summer's morning here.
Much, much further ahead on this fixed route course is our race reporter in control car 2, Andrew Phillips. The team are having a somewhat questionable breakfast, and the food doesn't sound too great either.
We're having breakfast in Kosovo at the moment, and it seems like Nickelback are still number one here. Breakfast this morning consists of one slice of Happy Cow, one slice of plastic wrapped cheese, an extremely dark looking coffee that actually looks pretty good, a little lonely piece of ham, and then of course the ubiquitous cucumber and tomato. We're on our way to Albania on the hunt for Christoph, Pierre, and ultimately right at the front, Justinas. We've just got word from our photographer, Mike, at CP2 in Peshkopi, that Justinas has now checked into the hotel. He arrived this morning, pretty tired, and he's decided to take 2 hours sleep, and he's asked the receptionist at the hotel, the concierge, to wake him up at 10 o'clock so that he can get back on his bike and get moving again. Now, he's asked the concierge to wake him up because he broke his phone 2 days ago in the collision in Montenegro. But now, this also means that he doesn't know where his pursuers are behind him on the road. So, realistically, he could probably take 8 hours sleep and then leave again, still ahead of Christoph Dijkmans in second place. But he just doesn't know that, so he's playing it safe, getting 2 hours, and then he's going to push on and really keep punishing himself into that Albanian wilderness.
After a while, Andrew finds Pierre Bischoff, cap 32, who spent the night in some classic ultra accommodation.
Whereabouts did you sleep last night?
In a toilet. And it was quite nice, was clean, and I didn't know how the city was called, also something with K. But was
Grumme.
Yeah, exactly, and was a nice place to stay.
Have you got any expectations for when you might get to CP2?
Yes, I will now continue. I didn't know how the conditions will be on the road. 3,000 altitude meters, 150K. I tried to go so long I can, and we'll see what happened during the way.
All right, and are you still on the chase for Christoph? You know where he is?
Have you
been following tracking?
No, of course I know where he is, but finally. I think everybody is now in the suffer mood, and normally something on the result will not happen. It's just a question, did somebody more make a DNF or not?
Yesterday's brutal weather conditions took their toll on our riders, and many gave themselves a few extra hours to recover overnight. Tom is with Francois Briere, Cap 18.
It feels great to sleep inside and eat something warm. And you understand that you don't have to be fast, but consistent.
Yes.
So exactly. It's what I'm trying. So tonight I'm going to try to be at the checkpoint one. Now just listen to how you feel, your body, to eat properly, sleep properly. And I think tonight I'm going to try to sleep at the hostel because I can see that it makes a big difference when sleeping outside. And you rest really well.
So it sounds like you're learning these valuable lessons along the way and you're changing your strategy as you go,
so I feel like every day I'm learning something new, which is amazing. Yeah. Because at 35, you don't get used to learn something every day. So, yeah, great.
Control point one in Barana is roughly the halfway point for the entire route. But the riders need to get there before midnight tomorrow if they are to make general classification for the race. James van der Hoorn, Cap 22.
Have you been keeping an eye on the cut-off time for the control point?
Yeah, I thought it was tonight at midnight. It turns out it's tomorrow at midnight, so I've got a lot of time in the bag. Yeah. But that said, I still like to make it there before midnight tonight, then have a decent rest before sort of starting the second half of the race tomorrow with fresh legs.
Is that how you're kind of mentally breaking it up?
That's right, yeah, splitting it in two. Get through the first 50% and then I think it's sort of downhill from there.
Yeah.
And I figured if I can do this first half without any major body or mechanical issues, I can probably push through to the end.
Torsten Bronner, Cap 35.
You're a photographer, right?
Yeah, I'm a freelance journalist. I write articles and make my photos, and then I take my time to the photos.
Yeah. So have you brought your camera with you?
Yeah, it's a Nikon, a big camera.
A big camera?
Yeah.
And do you find it difficult to resist stopping and taking loads of photos?
Yeah, for me it's normal to take lots of photos. If it's nice and if I do photos, I'm okay.
It hasn't been slowing you down too much?
Yeah, on some days, but when it's nice, it's okay. For me, it's okay.
Do you think that helps keep you kind of motivated in the ride?
Yeah, and it's after the trip, it's good to see the moments of the trip when you have the photos, and with the smartphone I also make some videos and cool. I take my time.
Oh,
I enjoy the trip.
Are there any highlights so far? Any amazing photos you've taken?
Yeah, every day it's different. I like the Giro cycling route with the valley. Yesterday the pass was very dark, the sky. Today the blue water of the canyons, and it's cool.
And have you thought about the time cutoff for the control point?
Yeah, I'm looking always to the. I think I have to do 150 on the next days. Today the wind helps.
Yeah,
and I have 50, I think, today in the morning. 60. Yeah.
Okay, so you feel like you've got it under control?
Yeah.
So looking at the tracker, we just noticed two riders stopped at a cafe. So we assumed they were stopping for a nice lunch break. And sure enough, we rolled up and found Spike Morris and Oliver Neumann sitting together enjoying a nice lunch. It's quite a funny little setup here. It's just basically in a lay-by next to quite a big road. There's a really cool retro-looking motel with a huge, like, American-style motel sign saying Motel Tara, and then a tiny little rustic restaurant and campsite next to that. So it's the perfect place for riders to stop. And these guys have been enjoying a nice, relaxed rest in the sun.
First, Tom speaks to Spike.
When I last saw you, I was pushing to catch up for my passport drivers,
yes.
Which I did manage, which is good. I sort of broke into a bit of a different pack. But then I only slept like a couple hours that night. So I sort of paid the price yesterday, which is tough.
Interesting.
So yesterday was a bit of an off day. I'm not sure. It's kind of evened out, but yeah.
And then when you had that off day, did you find yourself slipping back out of touch with those people that you caught up?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard, yeah. It was also just cold yesterday, wasn't it? It was like...
Yes.
I got soaked to the bone a bit and then woke up and it was like 5 degrees, so everything was just hard work.
Is that the toughest day so far?
It was for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with all the scenery. Like, nothing around me is... It was beautiful and... Yeah. I guess it was a bit raining, but... It was more just me having an off day, really.
Yeah.
Oliver Neumann, Cap 31.
Yeah, I'm happy with my own result at the moment.
And where was it that you had to scratch last year?
It was nearly exactly here.
Was it? So have you been thinking about that as you've been going along?
I was thinking this year I will... reach finish, and I feel very much better. Last year I was better prepared because I was training harder. This year I had to stop training because of sickness all the time. I still feel a little bit fresh. My legs work fine. I have found my pace, how to climb the mountains, and
Is there anything different about your approach this year to last year? Like, you seem to be in good spirits when we see you, and you seem to be going really strong. I just wonder, yeah, what are you doing differently? Are you approaching the race in a different way?
I don't push too hard. I try to get my sleep, and last year I wanted to ride because I wanted to make kilometers per day. I had my goal. I want to reach many, many kilometers. And this year I told to myself, yeah, when I'm tired, I go to sleep. And the race is long enough. And the strategy from this year is better than last year.
Last year's runner-up, Adrian Liechti, is one of our race volunteers this year. He's stationed at Control Point 2, in Peshkopi.
I'm here at CP2 with Adrian Liechti. Adrian was here when Justinas arrived this morning. Adrian, can you just tell us briefly how Justinas was, how he looked, how he felt, and what happened when he left?
So Justinas came at 6 or 7 this morning, or late or 7:30, and he was super tired. Yeah, I never see him like that, super tired. Yeah. It was a hard night for him, and then we chat at the checkpoint together during maybe 1 hour, because yeah, he broke his phone before during the race, and he needed that to speak to human in English and not in Albanian.
And when he left, can you tell us what resupply he took?
So apparently he didn't buy food in Peshkopi, and in my opinion it's a mistake, because it's the place to buy food before the last 350k, because after that there is almost nothing if you don't know the resupply.
Back at Control Point 1 in Burana, Alain Rumpf speaks to another one of our volunteers and manages to eloquently capture the mood of many of our riders at this point in the race.
So come on, Alain, tell me how you're feeling.
Shit.
Okay, why is that?
because I've been riding my bike for way too long in way too bad conditions for my body to still want to cooperate.
I like that, well put. And are you enjoying the ride anyway when it's... the weather's okay?
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying. It's amazing. And this country, these mountains are fantastic. That's what I came for anyway.
While Alain and most other riders press on, a few have had to scratch and make their way back to the start line in Škoda. Inspired by listening to and dot-watching the adventures of others, this was a first ultra race for Michael Niven, Cap 30. But he succumbed to persistent knee pain.
I just couldn't do it. Yeah. I just needed to rest my knee, and the last couple of days, just an emotional rollercoaster. I'm getting sad thinking about it now.
Oh, mate.
just complete envy that the rest of the crew and the rest of the team, or not team, the all the individuals have seen the country and I haven't, because of a stupid knee, you know. And it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, it's
so
amazing.
Sad.
It's amazing out there. I totally identify with knee problems. I've had knees ruin races before, and it is so frustrating, and it is so emotional when your body is letting you down.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
But no, I mean, thank you for being a friendly face when I got back.
Can I give you a hug?
Yeah. I'm so sorry I didn't do it. So sorry. I'm just devastated.
Right at the very pointy end of the race, the team in Control Car 2 finally catch up with leader Justinas Leveca for the briefest of catch-ups. And it seems the accursed is proving to be a significant challenge, even for him.
I rarely hit the lows like that, but yesterday I was one. And I don't know why I was so stupid. Because after we hit the, like, this climb, hike a bike in the river.
Up at Luradea.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the bottom there was a village with a hotel. It looked like that.
Yeah.
It's stupid me. Like, I wanted an adventure. I got like fucking adventure and a half there. Because I somehow like, oh, I have to push through to the checkpoint to, you know, make it there. I don't know, chill. Oh my god.
Urs Manhart is the next rider to roll into CP1 in Burana. For Urs, it's not so much the getting there that provides the treasure, but perhaps the friends he's made along the way.
I started well this morning and had a very good feeling of myself and feeling of landscapes, and had very nice eye contacts with cows and horses.
Is that something you've been working on during the race, trying to engage the animals?
Yeah, that happens. I think it's you in such lonely days you make relationships with whatever you wish to.
Yeah. And, are they friendly?
Yes. Yeah, and also curious. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, I wasn't expecting cows on elevation of 1700 meters. Mm-hmm. So they were halfway in snow, just wandering around looking for some grass. So that was since I'm also working on farms sometimes, it was a strange picture to see that. Yeah, I think the farmers also did not expect to have snow.
Yeah.
These days.
Cows just looking confused.
Yeah.
What's this stuff?
Yeah,
okay.
One of the most fascinating things about riding bikes over long distances is that there is no one way to do it. Alistair Clifford, cap number 9, has been using the data to size up his own approach compared to others.
I worked out I'm the most rested competitor in the field, and I'm the third fastest moving. So it's literally what I said it was going to happen. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So you've been doing a bit of data analysis along the way.
It's mainly my mates laughing at my amount of my sleep, I think, that they brought that up. So
yeah,
and that's good.
That's good. Well, that should start paying off. The longer the race goes, that kind of sleep deficit is going to pile up on people that have been sleeping less, I guess.
Yeah, and you just make silly mistakes when you're tired. Just not concentrating, leaving stuff. Like, I left my watch in the first hotel. I've had to, like, sort them out, email them. They're DHLing it back to England today. And you're just like, oh, it's just... You wouldn't normally forget your watch, but at 5 o'clock in the morning when you've had 3 hours sleep, you do.
Yeah.
So...
We've just arrived here at Control Point 1, and it's a really funny scene of great contrast, because it's quite a big hotel. It's a Saturday night and there's some kind of high school prom going on, so you've got this meeting of worlds and clash of cultures, where outside of the entrance here there are ultra cyclists in smelly lycra gear, completely plastered in mud, with wet, soggy shoes slopping around and their bikes strewn all over the place, and then absolutely immaculately dressed and done up high school kind of princesses with like proper Disney princess dresses on, and the guys all wearing sharp suits and lots of fancy looking taxis and cars chauffeuring them around, people taking photos of them. And then there's also a group of like touring motorcycle guys from Romania who are all of these sharing the same space. And it's a total chaotic, beautiful mess.
Another glorious two-wheeled chariot appears over the horizon and arrives at the prom. It's Elias Backmond, Cap 16.
So how did it feel arriving at CP1?
Great. Yeah. Best achievement so far. And I had a lot of food now. I'm going to go shopping and then see how far I can get today. I'm a bit behind schedule from where I wanted to be, because the snow really took a long time to get over, but I'm just doing what I can.
Adjust the plan a bit.
Yeah, just see how far I can go. Florian is ahead of me, and we met at the... So we're back and forth all the time. Mm-hmm. He was also at the campground, and he head off a bit earlier. And we're just kind of racing our own thing, but he also said he's just going the speed he can do, and I'm always watching where he is.
How far ahead is he now then?
An hour, one and a half. I don't know how long it took to eat two portions of food and a cake.
So yeah, hopefully you can catch him up then at some point. He's got to stop at some point, hasn't he?
He must be, yeah. But yeah, then if I catch up, then he might be heading off again already. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, right. But it's great fun to catch up with other riders all the time.
That's great. I like that you've found like a rival to have a race with. It's just you against Florian now. So there's a bit of a theme emerging from the chats that we've had with the riders today, and it's all about consistency and how the idea of being fast and what riders might think that entails and what it might look like, which is this kind of exciting, sexy idea of pushing yourself to the limits and not getting any sleep and riding at like maximum watts. It's not sustainable in this form of racing, and we've heard from a couple of kind of veterans that have talked about that today in Torsten and Oliver Neumann. And Torsten has done like, you know, a lot of this kind of riding, and he's totally comfortable with being slow, and he knows that that's the kind of approach that it takes, and he's, I think, let go of the idea of like the super fast racer, but it's effective and it's what it takes to get you around. And Oliver was comparing his ride last year to his ride this year, and reflecting on how last year he a lot of the mistakes he made were trying to push himself too hard and trying to ride to a particular distance that he had in mind each day that he thought was, you know, what would represent a high pace and a fast performance. And this year he's kind of let go of that idea and accepted that a more sustainable way of racing, where you take care of yourself, is actually better. And then we've heard from Spike and Francois, who are both relative rookies this year, and they're learning those lessons in real time as we go. And Spike's been kind of experimenting with different tactics, and you know, after that setback he kind of like burnt a few matches and pushed on through the night, and then he was saying how he paid for that the next day. And then so he's kind of having to slacken off the pace, and you know, you end up sort of averaging out at somewhere in the middle when you take out the real highs and the real lows. And Francois is finding that as well. He kind of pushed his body to the limits, and his knees were the point where that started to really like manifest itself, and they started to disagree, and he had a lot of knee pain. And he's found that the only way to manage that and enable him to get back to riding is by more rest and you know, eating and taking care of himself and riding at a more manageable pace.
As the evening draws in, it seems the weather is taking numerous turns again on the approach to CP1. Frida Baku, Cap 19, is the next to make it.
The weather was changing every 5 minutes. It was incredible. Just the last mountain, there was kind of thunderstorm with snow. Then the sun was shining. Before it was raining, it was crazy. And then all the mud and snow, so it was not getting boring today. And once again, the bike looks like you saw it the last time.
It's... I saw it last time.
Last time
and it was
covered
even in
worse.
Mud. Did you wash it in
no.
between? No. Okay,
no, so. Why? Why should I? It would not make sense.
Just
at all.
Instantly get muddy again.
No, I don't wash it.
And
no.
How does it feel to arrive here at Control Point 1?
Well, that feels very good. It has been a long day. And it was so cold.
As we've been hanging out in the hotel lobby here, talking to riders and watching them come in throughout the evening, in the background they've been setting up more and more elaborate and powerful speaker systems in the background, and they're gearing up for like a full-on disco here. I think this is just the warm-up stages, but it's really, really loud, as you can hear in the background. So it's probably quite a good atmosphere for riders to arrive in, actually. You know, it's definitely got a bit of energy and feels like a real event for them to arrive at the control point, even though it's actually nothing to do with us.
Oliver Neumann arrives at Control Point 1-2. He has to quickly double-check that the party really isn't anything to do with us.
Welcome to the party.
Is it from Lost Thought? No.
No. We'd have better music, Oliver. How was that last section?
Ooh. It was very hard because you didn't saw the way anymore.
Really?
It was all full of snow.
Covered in snow.
And it was funny. I started to go up and there was a thunderstorm, very short.
And you've now got past the point where you scratched last year, right?
Yeah.
So that must feel good.
The point I was scratching last year was in the valley before the national park.
Yeah. Do you feel a bit like... The pressure is off a little bit because you've arrived here and you don't have to worry about making the time cut now?
Yes, it feels very good to be here and in a really good time, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
As day five comes to an end, Tom takes a look back with race director Hannah Larbalestier and Kim, one of our race volunteers at Control Point 1.
Well, I think they've been remarkably cheerful, considering the conditions they've been through, all the snow, and they've said it's been tough, and they've been cold, and maybe they've spent cold nights. But I've been impressed about how many have said how much they're enjoying themselves, and how beautiful the scenery's been when they can see it. That's the only thing. They've been in remarkably good spirits. So they've been enjoying themselves, most of them.
It's a nice contrast to last year, actually, because I think generally the riders were more spaced out last year and it was probably quite a solitary experience, and it's really nice that we've got these clumps of riders throughout the race this year, and they'll bump into each other a few times a day maybe, and it does, even if maybe they're not competing against each other, you do get spurred on by having those other people around you, and it reminds you that you're in a race rather than on a bike tour.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just speaking to some of them today, they have had that real sense of like when Alistair came in, he would just like, all he wanted to do was like smash down all this food and the coffee and then get back out there to like chase the previous guys that had already left the control point. So there's a, even not at the front of the race, there's a real sense of like healthy competition, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Join us on day 6 to see just how far Justinas can make it back through Albania, powered entirely by sweets, and whether those riders behind him can make any ground up in the process. Most of them are now heading to Control Point 2 in Peshkopi, while riders right at the back need to arrive at CP1 by midnight to beat the cut-off time. You can read our daily race reports from the road and get updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride With GPS.